Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter and a broker here at Daniels Trading, which is a Stone X company. Work with broker-assisted clients, self-directed online, producers, hedgers. We do OTC now, physical metals, a whole lot more to offer here now that we're part of Stone X, which is formerly FC Stone. If you like the podcast, please forward it on to some friends you might think would like it. If you want to check out Turner's Take newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com, where you can text the number 33777, 33777 with the message Turner. Follow the instructions and you can get it. If you are a client and you like some of the ideas that we're talking about, please reach out to me. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. Call my cell. Maybe put some on. If you're not a client interested in working with us, feel free to call me. My number here is 312-706-7610, 312-706-7610, and my email is cturner@danielstrading.com. All my contact information is in the show notes. So let's jump into it. We had the WASDE today. We've been very busy over here at Daniels Trading. There's basically a long story short, now that we're owned by FC Stone, all the accounts that we had at other clearing firms were transferred over to Stone X, and that has been taking up a big part of my last week. But now things are, looks like we're getting back to normal here, so be able to do more content, more newsletter, more trades, stuff like that. So WASDE was today. The December WASDE is rarely a game changer. It can have small updates in it, and it did today. It certainly did, more so probably for wheat than corn and beans, but it definitely worth talking about and where we see the markets going between now and, let's say, the January report. So for corn, not a whole lot of change. Actually, it was very, I don't think there's any changes in the corn market. It was interesting. CONAB came out with their estimates for Brazil, and they did reduce, I want to say, corn by 2 million metric tons. They shaved maybe a 500,000 metric tons off of the soybean number. So small little changes. The USDA kept them the same, and that's usually what happens. The USDA doesn't front run CONAB, which is Brazil's version of the USDA. You know, usually what happens is CONAB makes the adjustments, and then the USDA follows about a month later. So expect to see on the January report maybe corn and soybeans coming down a little bit for Brazil and probably Argentina too, because Argentina's having getting the brunt of the La Nina effect more so than Brazil. So you'd have to think they'd be adjusting that down too. Before the report, we had a big rally, especially led by the soybean market. And what happened was there was some thought, there was a chance that the USDA could surprise and bring down ending stocks because of exports increasing. So it felt like in the 24 hours leading up to the report, no one wanted to be short, and which I don't blame them. And we had that rally. We almost had like a 15-20 cent rally in soybeans, and we came back down. And I think at the end of the day, we closed off three, and you know, March is at about 11.60, and that's fair. We're gonna have a range of $11.40 to $12, I would say, over the near term. You know, the USDA on the soybean side did increase the crush, which was interesting, by about 15 million bushels, and that in turn brought ending stocks from 190 to 175. I've got a lot of nice charts today from Stone X that I'm going to send out. Let's see if I can get those up real quick. They'll be in all the show notes, but You know, there was stock to usage. If it was the price of U.S. farm price of soybeans versus U.S. Soybeans carryout. So we have a nice chart on that. And you can see when we're at 5% carryout or less is when prices can really get above $10. 10% stock to usage seems to see the where we're getting approaching $10. This isn't futures. This is the actual farm price, and the basis is usually lower. So, you know, it, just to give you an idea, and I always say when the price of soybeans or when the carryout gets below 10%, that's when we got to start thinking about price rationing. And you can see it on this chart how it works. What's going to be interesting here, one thing they did add is they went from 1990 to 2019 on this chart. And what one, you know, when you get past 5% stock to usage, not only are prices above 10, but in certain years they can get $12, $13. But anything before 2007, so 1990 to 2007, you rarely got above 10. You had to have China come in and also the ethanol mandate to back after 2007, to push prices higher, like beans in the teens. So I'm going to send that chart out along with this podcast, but that'll be really interesting. And what it suggests here is if carryout is now at 175, we're below 4%, I believe. And that suggests, soybeans might, could keep going higher. Now, one thing that I'm going to circle back to exports and where we think prices are going. I'm going to touch on wheat real quick. The wheat number was the most surprising number today. The world ending stocks came down 5 million metric tons, which was more than, 5 million metric tons more than what the trade thought it would. And beans ended up being up about 13 to 15 cents, was the strongest mover on the day and deserved to be. I mean, that was definitely the only surprise of that report was world wheat ending stocks coming down more than the market thinks. And also too, we will be entering a weather period for wheat over the next month or two. So that's going to be interesting to see if if wheat can stay or even rally. You would think $6 would be in the sights of March. We're almost there, actually. We're at 598. And I think we had a high of about 599 for March Chicago wheat. Wouldn't be surprised if we saw some follow through and we're trading in the sixes again in the near months for those. So we'll keep an eye on wheat. And the higher price of wheat just helps the corn and soybean market. We're going to probably have to use, feed corn if you can't have feed wheat, especially at these prices. And that'll just, help corn along too and be supportive for it. So that's going to be, so we've got all three markets, all three major ag markets here, the corn, soybeans, and wheat at elevated prices. Now I want to switch on back to soybeans, and that's where we're going to stay for the rest of the podcast. The corn number came in as expected. The wheat was bullish, but we're not going limit up or anything like that. Deserved a 15-cent rally. Could even go a little bit higher. Soybeans, though, when I look at some of these charts that were coming out, I'm going to post on here a graph of U.S. soybean carryout versus the stock to usage ratio. And you can see where prices were. And where the carryout was over the years, and we're tight. We haven't been this tight since 2013. That was probably the tightest we've been, and that is when we were at about the pipeline, the 91 million bushels or whatever it was. So now we're second tightest than I can remember here in the soybean market post 2006, 2007. And the reason why I really use that as my dividing line, like an AC. An AD before Christ, BC kind of line is, it really has everything to do with China. Like before 2006, China wasn't this huge demand driver on the soybean market, but afterwards they were. So when I look at soybean prices and stock to usage, really look at that past 2007. And now we're the second tightest since then. When we take a look at the world carryout versus the stock to usage ratio, or the carryout to usage ratio. Again, the world soybeans, we haven't been this tight since 2011, 2012, like the 13 area. I think the tightest we had been was about 2008, and also back in the early 2000. But soybeans are a lot more important now, and they can get priced a lot higher. So again, we are that chart's going to show just how tight things are getting with the soybean market. And finally, when we talk about pricing and how prices can go, I think when we talk about stock to use and what's getting tight, and when corn 2 years ago went up to 450 and couldn't break through 450, because of the very late planting in May and June, one of the reasons it couldn't break through 450 is because the rest of the world had corn. And all of a sudden at 460, it started to make sense for Southeast United States to import corn from South America, if we all remember that. And they could have done 300-400 million bushels of that if they needed to. They didn't, but they could have before South America ran out of corn. So another thing we look at is what is basically the major exporters. The major exporter of soybeans or the product, which would be like the meal, is the United States, Argentina, and Brazil. It's almost all done between those three countries. And we have, between those three, we're about as tight as I can remember. We're as tight as, I think we're at about a 17% carryout in the world between the major exporters. And the only time we've been that tight was 2011. So not only is the U.S. tight, the world is tight. So what does that mean for soybean prices? It means we're definitely being supported. Very supportive right around here in the 11s for old crop and in the 10s for new crop. There's no reason to think why November would go below 10. There's no reason to think why the front months would go below 11. How high we go is just going to be a function of demand and also, the weather right now. If the weather gets worse, we're going to add more premium in. The weather turns around and we can actually get a bigger crop, well, then those carryout numbers eventually will look to get bigger too, right? And that... So the market knows that, and there's a lot of time still for the U.S. crop for next spring and the South American crop now to be bigger than expected, I think, or to expand acres. So we're not going to go to $13 or $14 like overnight, even though the carryout to stock usage is suggesting that we could be between $12 and $14 in soybeans just based on U.S. stocks alone. And then when you look at the global stocks and the major exporting stocks, it would suggest that soybeans should be higher. But what I will tell everyone is when we've had those big rallies in the soybean market, like the beans and the teens, a lot of times we were tight the year before, like this tight, and then going into the next year even tighter, and you have to ration the exports, or it comes during a period of where the commercials really need soybeans, or they need meal, or whatever it may be, and they're basically outbidding everyone to try to get it. Where we are in the situation right now is we're not tight at this very moment. What these tables are telling us is that we're gonna be tight come the summer, okay? And there's no reason for the commercials to go out and bid up soybeans now in December, and it's in their best interest just to buy beans or book beans, for coverage, maybe 1 or 2 months out or whatever they can get now, but they don't have to, there's no point in them driving up the price at the moment. I mean, if prices go higher, prices go higher, but I don't think anyone wants to be buying $12 or $13 soybeans on the commercial side or even 11 and a half, and they'll probably just take it a day by day where they can, right? And that's usually what happens. So going forward, how high can soybeans go, or when do we break through 12? It's going to have everything to do with when stocks just aren't available at the export level or at the crush level, and they have to start bidding these up aggressively to find soybeans, which hasn't happened yet because we're still early on in the market, in the marketing year. So, and just I'm going to drive this point home one more time. Some of you probably already get it, but for those of you who are kind of new to the grain markets or, aren't in farming or work in an elevator, those ending stock numbers are for September 1 or August 30th. We're December 10th right now. So you don't see how short this thing can get in terms of in stocks. Now, in December, when we've just had harvest, but when you project it out, because you're only going to get, you got what you have in the United States for the next eight to nine months, and then you get one shot basically in South America to add some beans to the global export markets, and it's not going so well for them. So what happens if we're this tight come February, March, April, right? And the beans aren't there. Like, people are bidding up. They're going to have to, you know, really compete for prices to get delivery if they need soybeans. And that's where you kind of see these, you can see big moves. But someone on the commercial side is going to need these beans, right? And that has to come through too. Doesn't mean that they probably will. I will say, keep something, you can keep something else in mind here. The crush tends to be very inelastic, meaning that your domestic crush, if it's going to be 2.1 or 2.2 or 2.3 billion, probably going to be that. Because whatever, whoever's in the United States that needs beans to crush is going to get a lot better price than someone halfway around the world. And it's not that, you know, you're trying to rip someone off halfway around the world, but you got to realize that the beans might be to the processor 50 miles away here in the United States, while they're 10,000 miles away or 7,000 miles away for, you know, somewhere halfway across the world, wherever it may be. The freight cost alone and just, you know, getting the beans down the river into the ports or out west, and then the transportation and everything else goes to it. The soybeans are always going to be much cheaper, and they're going to be much closer domestically. So the crush is typically doesn't change that much. And the USDA increased the crush. What will change is the exports. And what's going to have to happen is whatever soybeans aren't left, the market's going to have to fight for these exports. And they're going to have to fight aggressively to get whatever they can find from the United States, Argentina, and Brazil. And that's when prices, and that's when you can see beans in the teens. And it's just not going to happen in December. I do think we'll be range bound. I like this $11.40 to $12 range in soybeans. I like being set up for whenever, you know, we kind of see that tipping point, the last straw that breaks in the cash market, and you see the higher prices and the blowout through 12. When that going to happen? We don't know. Could be the January report where the USDA gets real about exports. I wouldn't be surprised about that. So I would, don't get too heavy. It's going to be a wild market in soybeans. I like buying the breaks. I've always been a big fan of trading around positions. So you kind of have your core position, you hold on to it, and then maybe on the breaks you pick up a couple, and then you have a nice little rally. You sell a few, always keeping that core position, but trading around it maybe. Just in the support and resistance zone, I think soybeans are going to be good for that. So will soybean oil. Soybean oil is still, I think, the most bullish of the bunch here. Just because of how short the world is on vegetable oil. So USDA did nothing today to change our minds on that. The January report is going to be a big – it always is a big one. And it's going to be definitely a big one this year. And if we're going to weather, so weather and demand. So this is what's going to happen here between now and the WASDE report in January. Every day we'll be looking to see what the export reports are by the USDA and the announcements, and see who's buying corn and soybeans. Then it'll have an effect over time over the direction of the market, how far we'll go up or down. And then the weather reports. And right now it's still, I don't know, it's okay in Brazil. There are places getting rain. There are also a lot of trouble spots. CONAB wouldn't have reduced corn by 2 million metric tons or soybeans by half a million metric tons if there weren't issues. And Argentina, they haven't released anything yet. I think it's the Rosario Exchange that does that. I'll have to double check on that when they make those reports out. But they're worse off, and you got to think a lot of private analysts are, you know, shaving a corn, already moving corn down, and soybeans too in Argentina in production, when we really can't lose any production. And if we do, it's just going to drive prices up in the United States, not just because of the exports, but we're going to have to plant every acre available in this country and price the grain as such to get all those acres into corn and soybeans this spring. So that is where we are. If you have any questions about what I've been doing or what we can do on the spec or hedge side, let me know. If you're a client, get in touch with me. We'll start putting some things to work. If you're interested in working with Daniel's Trading, now a StoneX company, Happy to talk to you for clients and anyone interested. My number is 312-706-7610. Hope everyone did well today, and I will be talking to you soon. Thanks for listening.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.